Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When a society denies that any animal species other than humans are capable of cognition, they deny themselves an efficient way of discovering how cognition works. On the other hand, had we accepted that even some of the simplest animals with the tiniest brains were capable of cognition, then it would have been easier to make the neurological associations and to extract from that into humans. Now we're playing catch-up. Increased studies of animal intelligence are teaching us how deeply embedded cognitive skills are in all living beings. Consider this experiment that was done with bees. Scientists trained bees to pull strings attached to their legs to pull out an artificial flower with some food in it that was positioned below a screen. Of the 40 bees they trained, 23 learned to do this. A side note here. Out of a group of 110 bees who were not trained, 2 learned to do this on their own. The scientists then took their 23 trained bees and put them with a group of untrained bees. 60% of those bees learned to use their legs to pull on the strings to get to the artificial flower with its food reward. In the final part of the experiment, all of the trained bees were returned to colonies where they then communicated their knowledge to the majority of the residents in a relatively short period of time. If we apply the if it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, walks like a duck, and squawks like a duck approach to this, if similar behaviors were shown in young children, we would associate this with the powers of cognition and with intelligence, depending on the age of the child. Consequently, from my perspective, bees are pretty smart. But now let's return to those 2 out of the 110 who learned to do this all by themselves. They didn't need to be trained. Most likely they too would have taught that skill to their colleagues if it would have benefited them. And those who learn from these 2 would in turn pass that information on to others. So now we have evidence of cultural learning, social learning, learning by modeling, whatever you want to call it. I tend to think of cultural learning as learning that is passed down through generations. Or maybe more correctly, the potential to learn is passed down to future generations. But whatever you want to call it, bees are capable of doing it. And although 2 out of 110 statistically seems like a very low number compared to the 23 out of 40 that you can train to do this, relative to human behaviors, many of them that we take for granted, think in terms of how many of them started with 1 or 2 people and then spread through an entire population. 2 out of 110 actually can be a very large number. I was thinking in terms of Olympic medalists. They represent a much, 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 much smaller percentage of the total population. And yet today, Olympic records of the past are being routinely broken in much smaller groups, in much smaller venues. People just do it. What was extraordinary becomes ordinary. All of that and the potential for that already exists somehow, somewhere in the bees' tiny brains. Once we understand where and how, It may be one tiny step forward for the bees, but it will be one giant step forward for the understanding of how the human brain works.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.